Welcome to the Redemption Life Church Podcast. Get ready for a powerful, life-changing message of freedom and encouragement. When you are in the Brookville area, join us for an exciting and uplifting worship experience. Times and locations available at www.redlifechurch.com. Follow us on Twitter at Red Life Church and like us on Facebook at facebook.com/redlifechurch.
I say Jesus overall. We're continue our series in Colossians. Part five. I didn't quite get to do that. We got some thunder somewhere rolling in. I'm not sure what that is, but just ignore that. We began looking at Colossians chapter 2, and we're kind of picking apart this. We kind of started at the end of Colossians 2 last week, and I didn't have time to get through everything, but we began to deal with the real meat of Paul's message to the Colossian church, and he begins to, and if you remember just the context of Colossians, he didn't start this church. In fact, Paul doesn't know anybody in this church. He knew the guy named Epaphras, who probably got saved under Paul's ministry in the church of Ephesus and Ephesians. And Epaphras goes back to his home city of Colossus and starts this church and starts preaching the gospel. So this is a group of people that Paul has never had any contact with. But here's about what God's doing there. He's in prison, and Paul probably writes this sometime after Acts chapter 28 while he's on house arrest in Rome waiting to see Caesar. And so Paul is in prison on house arrest, and he hears of what's going on in Colossae, and he hears this story of how God is moving in this church, and as these Gentiles, non-Jewish people, began to get saved, they had these questions that came up, and Jewish people, traditionalists, people who knew the law of Moses, who observed holy days and observed the certain holidays and followed the custom of circumcision and didn't eat certain foods, didn't eat unclean foods, and followed the rules and regulations, they began to teach these Gentiles that they also basically could serve Jesus, but they also had to take on and should take on all of the Jewish customs and traditions that they had been brought up with through the law. And Paul begins to address this. Now, you have to understand, take yourself back to the first century church. Imagine you get saved. I know this is going to be a little weird, but imagine you get saved. You're a 45-year-old man, and someone comes to you and says, hey, buddy, for this to count, you have to now get circumcised. I mean, we think we're asking people to take a big step when they get baptized. You know what I'm saying? And so people are like, no, if I've got to follow Jesus, I'm not doing that. And this is a real problem. This is a real issue. How much of our old tradition do we have to follow to and hold to, and how much of that has been taken care of in the finished work of Christ on the cross? And so Paul is addressing this in Colossians 2, and it's really the reason for his writing. And we Paul hears that there's these traditionalists, these religious people that are coming up and trying to pull these new converts and pull this new church in a direction of what we would call religion. Everyone say religion. And so we began to talk, and we've been in the last week or so talking about Jesus over religion. You understand, when I say religion, I don't mean what the Bible calls true religion, which is, the Bible says in the book of James, true religion is to look after widows and to feed orphans and to look after widows. We're not talking about that type of religion. I'm talking about, when I say religion, I'm talking about going through the motions of worshiping God without having your heart in it. Following customs and traditions that you were brought up with, that may be good customs, may be good traditions, but you don't have any heart to do it. Amen? And you're just going through the motions, and there's no relationship. And Jesus would rather us have a relationship with him versus follow a religion. Amen? And so I'm just going to recap a little bit here. Colossians chapter 2, we talked about there's two types of spirits of religion that Paul is addressing here. And we went through the rules and talked about a rules-based faith, rules-based religion that follows the rules, follows the law, don't do this, do that. And Paul addresses that. And we're going to look at the second type of religion here. Let's look at Colossians chapter 2, 20, just to review and recap where we're at. He says, you have died with Christ, and he has set you free from the spiritual powers of this world. So why do you keep on following the rules of the world, such as don't handle, don't taste, don't touch? Such rules are mere human teachings about things that deteriorate as we use them. These rules may seem wise because they require strong devotion, pious self-denial, and severe bodily discipline, but they provide no help in conquering a person's evil desires. Let's pray. Jesus, we love you. We thank you so much for your presence here this morning. Thank you for your anointing here, God, to set people free. And I pray in this place this morning, as we dig into your word, God, we're gonna see not just some rules, not just some ideas, not just some morals, not just some teaching, God, but we are going to encounter you as we look at this word this morning, Lord. And I pray that each and every person would have a personal encounter with you through your word today, God, that sets us free on the inside, Father, I pray. In Jesus' precious name, everybody said amen. So we talked about last week, we looked at verse 16. Paul says, chapter 2, verse 16, he says, don't let anyone condemn you for what you eat or drink, or for not celebrating certain holy days or new moon ceremonies or Sabbaths. For these rules are only shadows of the reality yet to come, and Christ himself is that reality. Now this is one of my this is something we talk about a lot. One reason we talk about it is because as we began to plant this church 4 years ago, we really sensed in our hearts that one thing that God had called us to Brookville and to Franklin County specifically, and one of the purposes of Red Life Church existing in this area is to defeat a spirit of religion that has held Franklin County and people in this community in bondage for far too long. Amen. I hate a spirit of religion. It is one of the things that God has called me in my ministry to come up against. I hate it because I've seen people, good people, get hurt too many times because of a spirit of religion. Amen? I've watched a spirit of religion cause people to stay in dead churches where they haven't been fed in years and years and years and years, and they'll just go every Sunday, go through the motions without ever growing anywhere in their walk with God, and a spirit of religion keeps them there. Amen. Watch the spirit. I've seen spirits of religion, an attitude of religion, cause a woman to stay with an abusive husband to the point that she nearly dies. But religion has told her it's a sin for her to leave. Come on, somebody. Watch religion hold people in bondage from experiencing freedom in Christ. And so if I get a little fired up about it, that's why. There's one of the things that I hate personally in my life is the spirit of religion. We talked about this rules-based religion that Paul talks about. I'm not going to get back into all of that this morning, but I want to talk instead about the second type of religion Paul's deals with. Paul really deals with both ends of the spectrum, both ends of the pendulum, if you will. He first talks about not being condemned by rules and tradition and customs that they're already been taken care of in Christ. Then he goes on in verse 18. This is where we're going to spend the most of our time this morning. Chapter 2, Colossians, verse 18, says, don't let anyone condemn you by insisting on pious self-denial or the worship of angels, saying they have had visions about these things. Their sinful minds have made them proud. They are not connected to Christ, the head of the body, for he holds the whole body together with its joints and ligaments, and it grows as God nourishes it. The second type of religious spirit that Paul is dealing with, that we're going to deal with today, is what we're going to call a hyper-spiritualized version of Christianity. Okay? Now I want to tread carefully here, because I'm a very spiritual person. We are a very spiritual people. Amen. We believe in the moving of the Holy Spirit at Red Life Church. Amen, somebody. You may not know it, but you're in a Pentecostal church this morning. Amen. Don't leave. I told the ushers to leave the rattlesnakes in the back today. I'm kidding. Okay? We believe in the gifts of the Spirit. We believe in the laying on of hands. We believe in the gift of healing. We believe in prophecy. We believe in speaking in tongues and praying in other tongues. We believe in all that, not because we have a tradition to uphold, but because the Bible tells us it's available. Amen? Now, the moment you show me in Scripture where it says that those things don't happen no more, then I'll stop teaching it. But you're not going to be able to do that. I can just tell you that right now. It's not going to happen. Amen, somebody? Okay? Now, the reason you don't know, some of you, that you're sitting in a Pentecostal church is because we believe in the moving of the Holy Spirit, we believe that the Holy Spirit has the freedom to move whichever way he wants to. Now, the other type of religion that Paul is talking about, and this is the type that I have the most experience with, is the type of religious spirit that says we have to have all these manifestations for God to be present. You understand what I'm saying? Now, I grew up in a Pentecostal church. I grew up in an Assemblies of God church in Owensboro, Kentucky. One of the first memories I have of church was at an R.W. Shambach revival. Anybody know who R.W. See, some of you don't even know who R.W. Shambach is. R.W. Shambach was one of the founding fathers of the evangelist tent meeting guys that would travel, and he was awesome. He was a amazing man of God. Okay? I almost said freaking. Cut the live feed. I don't know what's going to happen today. No, I'm just kidding. We don't want any record of this. Sorry. If that offended you, just stick around. There'll be way more things to offend you later. I can remember at R.W. Shambach, I almost said concert too, at a meeting with R.W. Shambach at the Good Shepherd Assemblies of God Church in Orangeburg, Kentucky. I couldn't have been more than 7 or 8 years old. R.W. Shambach at the end of his preaching had what they called a fire tunnel. Now, if you know what a fire tunnel is, you might have grown up Pentecostal. If you don't know, I'm going to explain it to you. A fire tunnel is when a bunch of people would stand facing each other, like around the altar of the church, and whoever wanted prayer would walk through the tunnel, and everybody would pray for them. Okay? And I can vividly, one of my first encounters that I remember really sensing the Holy Spirit's presence in my life was walking. Some of you people are like, what in the world are you talking about? That's not the type of church I came out of. That's all right. It's all good. You're probably not going to see a fire tunnel here. If you do see one, I promise you, God told me to do it. Okay? I promise you. Okay? So I come to this fire, and here's R.W. Shambach at the end of this tunnel. He's praying for people. People are falling out in the spirit, and they're laying on the altar, and it's crazy. And I go through, and R.W. Shambach lays his hand on me. I fall out in the spirit. I don't know what's going on. I got up. I don't know how long I was kind of just out, kind of just, you know, letting God move on me. And I thought, man, that was awesome. I'm doing that again. And I got back in line and went through again. Okay? So that's the kind of church I came out of. That's the kind of church I grew up with. Nothing wrong with it. That kind of church has produced some of the greatest moves of God and people that love Jesus that I've ever known. Amen? But you know what? It's also produced some people, listen to me close, that instead of focusing on Jesus, focus on an experience. And this is what Paul's talking about. He says, don't be condemned by someone who is hyper-spiritual saying they've had visions about this and seen angels about this. Don't be condemned by someone who is overly spiritual and is therefore making you feel like you don't measure up. Anybody ever felt that way in some of these churches? Boy, I've been in places where good Lord, if you didn't talk in tongues, you were cast out like you didn't know God. If you didn't fall out in the spirit, you were somehow not letting God move in your life. And bless God, we didn't have church until the altars were full and they were covered with people laying out all over the place. Unless 150 people are around the altar weeping for 2 hours every Sunday morning, we haven't had church. And I've been in churches with pastors and preachers that, bless God, if it takes 8 hours to get there, they gonna get you there. To the point where I'll fake it if you'll close the meeting and let me go get something to eat. I'm starving. If you quit shouting in my face, I'll fall down for you. I don't care. Just say amen so we can go home. Amen? And so Paul's saying here, listen, don't be condemned by these people. Don't let your relationship with God and your relationship with Jesus be reduced to just having to experience one thing after another, after another, after another. You know, I call these people, they're Christian junkies, man. They really are. They'll go from conference to conference, spend thousands, hundreds, and thousands of dollars flying everywhere that they feel like God is moving. And listen, don't be condemned. I'm not against going to conferences. I'm not against going to some place where God is moving in a special way. But if your whole Christian life is going from one place to another place to another place, guess what? You're just like a junkie going to get a Holy Ghost fix. And the problem is what happens when the Holy Spirit and the anointing is not moving that way, and then you don't know how to function? See, one of my favorite stories in the Bible, you don't have to turn there. It's in Matthew around chapter 18, where the Bible says, Matthew 17, 18, the Bible says Jesus takes Peter, James, and John on top of the mountain. And on top of the mountain is just Peter, James, and John, and Jesus. And all of a sudden, the glory of God covers the top of this hill, the top of this mountain. And the Bible says that God himself shows up. And then Elijah and Moses show up. And they're talking to Jesus face to face. And Peter, James, and John are like, man, this is awesome. And it's Peter. It's always Peter that sticks his foot in his mouth. Peter taps Jesus on the shoulder as if Peter has anything to say. I mean, Elijah and Moses and Jesus and God the Father, and Peter's like, hey, I think I should be heard right now. Jesus! Let's build a couple of shacks right here on the mountain, and we'll stay here on the mountain. And Jesus is like, no, we're not doing that. And then the Bible says, the glory departs. Moses and Elijah disappear. Jesus is back to himself. And this is what it says. It says, they looked around and they saw no one but Jesus. And they walked down the mountain. No glory. No Jesus shining brightly. No Elijah, no Moses. Just regular, plain old Jesus. Peter, James, and John. And so when my Christianity becomes moving from one experience to another experience, guess what? All I end up doing is searching for mountaintop experiences, and I never learn how to just walk with Jesus in the valley. Amen. And you know what? The older I get, and I don't know if I'm going to call myself mature, but the more I grow, because you probably are like, no, that's not the word for you. That's fine. I accept that. But the closer I get to Jesus, and the more I follow Jesus in my own personal life, and the more I follow him and walk with him daily, you know what? I used to be, in my younger days, I used to be really impressed with people that could prophesy. Used to be really impressed with people that had all these gifts. And listen, I'm like Paul told the church, and I'll probably tell this. Paul said to the Corinthian church, he said, I speak in tongues more than all of you. And I'll tell you right now, I'll probably speak in tongues more than most of you. Probably not Ron and Carla Klinke, because they're awesome. And they love Jesus a lot, more than me, probably, okay? And my mom and dad aren't here. I'd be picking on them today, too, okay? But I probably speak in tongues more than all of you. I hear God's voice on a regular basis. But you don't hear me getting up here all the time saying, God told me this, God told me that, God told me this. You understand what I'm saying? So I say that saying that I have a very experiential and spiritual walk with the Lord. But man, and I used to be really impressed with people that had all these gifts and that could do this and could do that, and would pray for people and they'd follow. You say, man, that's awesome. God, I wish I could do that. I wish that would happen in my life. I wish God, you'd use me that way. But you know what, man? The older I get, the more I get, I'm more impressed with people that can just walk with Jesus Monday through Saturday and come to church on Sunday and worship. That's what impresses me. Come on, somebody. It is an immature believer that is impressed with gifts. It is a mature and wise person that is impressed with someone that just walks with Jesus day by day. Amen? Because the thing about a gift is, a gift is just that, a gift. God gave it to you. You didn't do nothing to earn it. You didn't work for it. You didn't earn it. Come on, somebody. And we get impressed with the gift, and what we do is we negate the grind. I'm impressed with people who know how to grind. Amen? Because I've walked with Jesus long enough to know that there, guess what? The majority of my walk with God is a grind. Yeah. Amen, somebody. Amen. I know I'm not the only one that feels that way. The majority of your walk with God is going to be a grind, so you better learn how to grind and not be so impressed with gift and be focused on gifts all the time. Amen? So Paul says, don't be impressed. And listen, that is a spirit, that is a religious spirit that's just the same, that is the same type of religious spirit that focuses on rules and works and tradition and following the law and being a good person and you know, don't watch radar movies, don't listen to secular music, don't smoke, don't chew, don't talk to them that do, and all that other kind of stuff that we put on there, all right? That's the same spirit of religion, but it masks itself, especially in charismatic spiritual churches. It can mask itself, and it can look very holy, yet be very disconnected from what God really wants in his people. Amen? This is some good teaching this morning. Oh, good Lord. Don't let anyone condemn you by insisting on pious self-denial or the worship of angels, saying they have had visions about these things. Their sinful minds have made them proud. Listen. Listen. God would rather have you humble and connected to the body than spiritual and disconnected. Amen? This is how to not stay condemned. This is how to not let yourself be condemned. Realize that God would rather have you connected to the body and humble rather than super spiritual and disconnected. Listen to what he says about him. He says, they are not connected to Christ, the head of the body, for he holds the whole body together. Go back to verse 18. Their sinful minds have made them proud. Amen? You know what religion, any type of religion, whether it's rules and tradition, whether it's hyper-spiritualized, over-spiritualized, gifts, encounter-based, experiential-based religion, guess what? Religion wants to create different classes of believers. Oh, you watch rated R movies? I only allow myself to watch PG movies. I don't even allow myself to watch PG-13 movies. That's how much I love Jesus. Oh, you have cable TV in your home? Oh, I get the Angel Sky Network. That's the only thing we allow in our home, whatever the Christian cable thing is. I don't even know what it's called. I only listen to Jesus Culture and Elevation Worship music and Hillsong. I don't listen to any secular music whatsoever. Creates classes. So now I'm better. I love Jesus more, and I'm a better Christian than you are because you don't share my conviction. Separates. One thing I see about Jesus is Jesus was always trying to bring people together. Jesus is always inclusive, always wanting to bring people into the fold. Now, there may have been some stuff that had to get dealt with before you came in, but Jesus always made a door, always made a way. Amen? Religion separates. Spiritual, you've never spoken in tongues before? I speak in tongues on the daily. I'm somehow more spiritual than you. Oh, you've never fallen out in the spirit before? Oh, that's happened to me 16 times. It's marvelous. I just love Jesus so much. You obviously have some kind of blockage in your heart. Now, you might. I don't know. You might. You might. I'm going to deal with that in just a moment. But what I want to get you to understand is that Jesus does not make some kind of, there is not a class system in the kingdom. Amen? And this was, listen, you got to understand my background where I came from. I came out of Assemblies of God Church, came out of tongue-talking churches. I was ordained in the Church of God Cleveland, Tennessee, which is the oldest Pentecostal spirit-filled denomination in America, actually. And so there was a big chunk of my time as a youth pastor and even beginning to pastor where I wanted you to have that encounter with God because it was so life-changing for me. I wanted it to be life-changing for you, and I still want that for you. You understand what I'm saying? But I've come to realize that my job as a pastor and as a preacher is to get you to connect with Jesus first. My job is not to make you speak in tongues or adhere to some sort of doctrinal statement that has impacted my life. You understand what I'm saying? Okay? And so, as we were forming the church, one of the questions we had to ask was what if people want to serve in churches? Because listen, I've been in churches. Listen, this when I filled out an application to be ordained with the denomination, I've already told you, the Church of God. And I was sorry, I was trying not to do that, but I was filling my application and it cracked me up because on the application it said. It was like your checklist of like how far you've come in your walk with God, which is, you know, not very bad. Just the order kind of I thought was funny. It said, "Have you been saved? Check. Yes. Have you been filled with the Holy Ghost? Yes, I have. Check. have you been what they call, what the Church of God calls sanctified? I'm not even going to get into all that with you. It's not that great of a theological statement, but I think I was, so I check yes. And then the coup de grace, the last step of everyone's journey with God, church member. Really? That's the number one thing. Or that's like the final step, right? Yes. Okay, so what happens in that system is we want to create classes of believers. Oh, you've been saved? Good. All the saved people can sit over here. All the Holy Ghost-filled tongue talkers can sit here. All the sanctified people, if you even know what that means, can sit here. Nobody really does. We just think we do. And all the church members, like, there's no. And so the question came. Listen, how much in leadership are we going to let people, if they come into Red Life Church and they become part of church family? What if they don't speak in tongues? What if they aren't filled with the Holy Spirit like we believe the Bible says to be? Okay? So the answer came, listen, if they're good enough for heaven, they have to be good enough for Red Life Church. Come on, somebody. Amen? If they're going to be in heaven, listen, in heaven, let me tell you something. In heaven is not going to look like it does on Sunday morning. There's not going to be a Baptist church. There's not going to be a Catholic church. There's not going to be a Spirit-filled church. There's not going to be a non-denominational church. There's not going to be an interdenominational section. There's not going to be an non-denominational section or any other kind of crazy label that we try to put on. There's just going to be people who love Jesus and who've given their hearts to Jesus and who've been forgiven of their sins and by the grace of God made it into the kingdom. Amen? And so if it's okay with God to have some non-tongue talkers with him in eternity, it's got to be okay for us to have some leading at Red Life Church. Amen? Because we don't want to create a class system of believer. And that's what religion does. It creates a class system. And Paul says these people, whether they're rules-based or experience-based, they want to create classes based on what convictions you follow or what experiences you've had. And he said, that's not the kingdom. Jesus doesn't do that. He says, in fact, these people that think they're on some kind of great spiritual journey and also got a great spiritual pedestal because they've had an experience, he says, those people have made themselves proud because of their experience. And by way, and in so doing, have disconnected themselves from the head. And we say, how do you disconnect yourselves from the head? You know why? Let me go to the second thing. Let me go to the second point here of how not to be condemned. Understand this, Colossians chapter 2, verse 9. Listen. For in Christ lives all the fullness of God in a human body. So you, say that's me. So you also are complete through your union with Christ, who is the head over every ruler and authority. Listen, what's Paul saying there? Paul's saying, listen, Jesus is enough. You serve Jesus, you have a relationship with Jesus, that is enough to fulfill all of your spiritual needs right there. And you do not have to go looking and searching for experience after experience, mountaintop after mountaintop, and trying to get a spiritual fix. Baby, you can walk with Jesus down the mountain, and that will be enough. Amen, somebody. Christ is enough. And let me tell you, because you may be sitting here this morning and you may be feeling disconnected because you're looking at other people and thinking, well, I'm not as spiritual as them, or I don't have the kind of gifts that they have, and I don't haven't experienced what they've experienced, and I've never encountered what they've encountered. And I don't know, maybe I'm just not quite good enough. Maybe I'm just not quite on the level. Maybe I'm just, Jesus is enough. And if you have him on the inside of you, you have his fullness, you have his glory, you have his power, and you have everything that you need to fulfill the unique purpose in which God has created and designed for you on this earth. So do not be condemned by what you may perceive as a lack of an encounter or a lack of spirituality. Jesus is enough. Amen? Turn to somebody and say, Jesus is enough. So what do we do? What do we do? We don't want to follow rules. We don't want to be condemned by over-spiritualization and hyper-spiritualization. Listen. Chapter 2, verse 6, Colossians. Verse 6 and 7 says, now just as you accepted Christ Jesus as your Lord, you must continue to follow him. Let your roots grow down into him and let your lives be built on him. Then your faith will grow strong in the truth that you were taught, and you overflow with thankfulness. Listen, life is complicated enough. I think what Paul's saying here is, let's keep faith simple. Just follow Jesus. Just follow Jesus. Amen? Now, that's what I want to put to you, and that's what I want us to be, to what needs to be the mindset and the heart. This is what I want you to take away from this. Follow Jesus. Just follow Jesus. Make that your focus. Now, I told you we're going to deal with some things that you might have some blockages. Listen, don't get it twisted here, because I'm not telling you that as you follow Jesus, you're not going to experience some spiritual things and encounters in your life. I'm not even telling you not to want to have that to happen. I'm telling you, don't follow that. Amen? Now, in your following Jesus, if he leads you to an encounter through the Holy Spirit that begins to bring some kind of maybe some weirdness into your life. I got to be honest with you. Listen, this is what burns me up, and we call them cereal Christians, fruits, flakes, and nuts. I mean, listen, I tell you, I've been around this thing my whole life, and I've seen some weird folks that's done some weird stuff under the guise of the Holy Spirit. Amen? One time I was in this prayer meeting. So I could go on about this all day. I was in this prayer meeting one time. I'm not saying this wasn't God. This is my deal. Look. If the Holy Spirit moves on you to do something weird, I'm not gonna say that's not God. What I am gonna say is, if it is God, he knows that it looks ridiculous, and he should know that somebody's gonna laugh about it. You understand what I'm saying? So I was in this prayer meeting one time. Holy Spirit moving, people praying, getting after God in prayer, praying for our city, praying for God to move in churches, praying. Praying is kind of getting to a kind of a boiling point, and this one lady, bless her heart, y'all know what bless your heart means. She's praying. Listen, I want you to. This is funny. I'm sharing this because it's funny, and I'm not doubting her sincerity. You understand what I'm saying? But I'm saying it's still funny and weird. You can be sincere and be weird. She's praying. She goes, "Woo! Coming like a freight train! Woo!" I'm like, what? What prayer is that? What is that even supposed to? What do you expect me to happen when you pray like that? Okay, that's kind of. I mean, we can all agree that's a little weird, right? I've probably done some weird stuff. I'm sure I've done some weird stuff. I know I have. I know I've gotten, because here's what happens. Sometimes you can get caught up in the moment. And you can just kind of lose yourself. And that's, listen, here's the thing, though. I would rather get caught up in the moment and lose myself once in a while than be so stiff and so reserved and so held back that nothing can happen. There's got to be a balance somewhere. There's a middle somewhere. Amen? I think as people, and too often as the church, we want to float to the extreme, right? Well, some stuff happens when you get the Holy Spirit involved. You start talking about tongues that we don't like and we don't understand, and it scares us a little bit. So we're just going to cut it out altogether. No, that doesn't make any sense. Okay. Or we want it to be all God, so we're just gonna open the floodgates and just lose ourselves and be weirdos. Okay, that's not what God wants either. That's what Paul's saying here. Don't be condemned by either pendulum. Somewhere right in the middle is where God wants us to be. John Wimber, the founder of the Vineyard Church, wrote a book of his life story in the founding of the Vineyard Church. I can't remember what the name of the book was, but the tagline was "The Search for the Radical Middle." That's the title. Sorry, I thought that was the tagline. I didn't know the title. And I've read not the whole book. I've read a lot of it, and I like it a lot. And I like that. I just like that thought. The search for the radical middle. That's where God wants us to be. Amen? And so in my following Jesus, listen, here's where the block, if I'm following Jesus and that's my focus, there might be some experiences that make me scratch my head a little bit once in a while, okay? A few years ago, I pastored a church in a small town, Clayton, Indiana. Man, we were in the middle of a 21-day fast, and we were praying and seeking God. And some people, I was praying for people one Sunday, and some people began to get healed. It was crazy. This dude was like, he had metal rods in his bag. He said, man, I've not been able to move like this in years. And this is one of those moments that even before I had to be God, because I knew, but before I even knew what I said, and after I said it, I was like, oh crap, what have I done? I said, if you come back tonight, we're going to have a healing service and God's going to heal anybody that wants to be healed. And I was like, whoa, that was stupid. That was weird. And we went for 4 or 5 nights straight, people getting healed every single night. Just we were worshiping, sharing the word. And it was crazy, but it was, listen, here's the thing. I wasn't seeking to have that happen. Do you understand the difference? We get so hungry and so desperate for something sometimes that we begin to seek the gift rather than the giver of the gift. Amen. And what God wants us to do is to seek him. And as we seek him with our arms open and our hands open, ready to receive whatever he has for us. Now, the problem comes as I'm seeking God and following Jesus, he may give us a gift that we are uncomfortable with. Now, in that moment, what you've got to decide is that your comfort level needs to take a back seat to you following Jesus. I should have shouted that. That was so good. Your comfort level must take a back seat to your following Christ. Right. Too often, I will only follow Christ as long as it's comfortable. So the moment anything begins to happen that makes me uncomfortable, I want to label it and say, well, that's not of God. That's weirdness. That's no, my friend. Come on, somebody. We should want to encounter God in a real and powerful way. Friend, we need to encounter Jesus in a real and powerful way. Amen? But we don't have to do that in a weird way. Does that make sense? Sometimes God will speak in a powerful way, a prophetic vision. He may give you a vision. Let me just take one little rabbit trail here. Listen to me very close. Listen to me very close. Nobody hears from God 24/7. Nobody has a vision every other day. You ever talk to people like that? Oh, Pastor, I had this vision. I was driving down the road. I was driving down 75, and I had this vision. You did? That seems like an unsafe place for God to give somebody a vision. And these people are talking about they had a vision. I have vision. Not I had a vision. Right? Nobody has a vision all the time. Nobody hears a word from God all the time, every day, okay? If everything I say has to be prefaced with, God told me, you know what I'm probably doing? I'm probably trying to compensate for something. I'm probably trying to make you believe that I'm more spiritual than I am. Because you know what I've really realized about people that really do hear from God? They don't have to tell you they heard from God. They'll just speak what God said, and the authority behind it will make it obvious that it's from God. Amen. Anybody that always starts every conversation with, God told me. You know what they're trying to do? They're not confident enough in what they've heard from God to just let that speak for itself. Those kind of people that we got to, good people, sincere people, but we got to be trained a little bit. Amen? Okay. You don't have a vision every day. If you had a vision every day, you would be crazy. You can't handle that. You look in the Bible. Look in the Bible. You see visions didn't happen every day. Prophets would have it. We think it does because we read 60 chapters of a prophet, and every chapter begins with "I had a vision." You don't understand. There were 6 months between the visions. Come on, somebody. We couldn't live like that. Jesus didn't even live like that. Jesus walked. Sometimes God showed up in glorious ways. Sometimes Jesus had to walk down the mountain. Amen? We see this all the time. We see this in the book of Peter. One time in Peter's life, Jesus was out on the water. He was walking on water. Peter jumps out of the boat, and he walks on water to Jesus. He sinks a little bit in between there, but he walked on water. Cool thing to have on your resume, right? After the cross, Jesus, again, they're in the boat, and Jesus is on the shore, and Peter says, "Hey, it's Jesus." He jumps out of the boat. This time, he sinks. Swims to Jesus. Listen, sometimes you walk on water, sometimes you sink. Either way, follow Jesus. Get to where Jesus is. That's the point. See, we look at what, I love preaching about this. We look so much at the gift, and we forget that the point at the end of it is to follow Jesus, and that's what we're to do. Follow Jesus, because he's enough. Start playing some music when we're back there, Ethan. So I'll shut up. We don't follow religion, we follow Christ. When I'm constantly searching for another experience, another encounter, a deeper truth, a deeper vision, or I'm constantly searching for more rules, more regulations because the rules I'm following aren't working, aren't making me any more holy. In fact, they're making me feel less holy. Guess what? Following Christ becomes complicated. Life becomes complicated. And I think Jesus wants this to be made simple, man. Just follow Jesus. Follow Jesus wherever he's got you to go. You know what? When you make that, I was really thinking about this week, and I thought about, man, and I became a Christian really hard after God when I was 15 years old. Certainly made a lot of mistakes, and I'm still making lots of mistakes. But I've been on this journey now for 20-something years. Some of you have been on this journey longer. And I really was thinking this week, in my spending some time with the Lord, I thought, man, I look and my walk with him and my experience with him is so different than what I thought it would be. You know what I'm saying? But there's no doubt in my mind that God has led me to exactly the place and moment and is forming me into the exact person that he has called me to be. But it looks so different than what I thought it would look like 20 years ago when I signed up. You know what I mean? Anybody can testify to that. But we still follow him. And that's the simplicity of it. Let me tell you another thing here. Here in verse 6 and 7. Just as you accepted Christ Jesus as your Lord, you must continue to follow him. Let your roots grow down into him. Let your lives be built on him. And then your faith will grow strong in the truth you were taught, and you will overflow with thankfulness. A characteristic of following Jesus and simply following Jesus is two things. Number one, you're going to have a thankful spirit. Religious spirits are often unthankful and bitter. Amen? If your walk with God is making you sick, is making you bitter, and you come to church and you don't have anything to worship God about, then you might need to check yourself and go, man, maybe I'm following religion a little more than I'm following Jesus. Because following Jesus overwhelms with thankfulness. As I was sitting in my living room early one morning this week, and I thought, man, God, I'm in such a different place than I thought I would end up 20 years ago. But there was a thankfulness for it. There was no bitterness. There was no God, I'm so angry that it hasn't worked out, and I don't look like what I thought I would look like. I mean, good Lord, I've got 4 kids. None of them were in the plan. One of them was in Luann's plan. I wasn't aware of the plan, but she made a plan for that one. I never dreamed of having 4 children. Never dreamed of planting roots in this community as a high school student. And I can sit back and say, God, I'm thankful. Thankful it hasn't worked out the way I first imagined it 20 years ago. Good Lord, if God had allowed me to follow the plan that I wrote up 20 years ago, it would be all jacked up. Amen? There's a thankfulness when your life is centered on following Jesus. When I'm looking for the rule, when I'm following rules and religion, there's no thankfulness there. You know what I mean? I met people that follow, their whole faith is based on religion and rules and tradition and customs, and they're bitter and they're miserable and they're unthankful. Why? Because they're followed a bunch of rules that they don't want to follow, don't have the power to follow, and then they feel terrible and condemned and shamed when they break the rules. What a terrible cycle that, believe me, is nowhere in Jesus' plan for you. Amen? People that are following experiences and encounters and greater truths and deeper mysteries rather than following necessarily just simply following Jesus, they're complicated and they're always trying to find more. There's no thankfulness there. And all of their songs sound like, I need, I want more. Instead of thank you. Your faith will grow when you're following Jesus. Following rules, following religion, following experiences will usually end up deteriorating your faith and chipping away at it a little bit at a time. Following Jesus makes my faith grow. Amen? We're called to follow Christ and nothing else because He's enough. Amen? Would you stand with me all over this place this morning? Just close your eyes over this place today for a moment, just to let the Holy Spirit speak to each individual personally. I really feel like there's some of you in this place this morning that religion has injured you. You're carrying around scars. You're carrying around battle wounds. You're carrying around burdens that religion has placed on you. And I'm telling you right now, Jesus wants to set you free and take those off of you this morning. And I hear my heart. I don't mean this to, this is not to slam any other church or any other group or any other denomination or anyone else's convictions. But just because I believe something sincerely, I can believe something sincerely and be wrong. I can do something with a good heart. And I hear me, I believe most of the things that we've experienced and most of the wounds that have probably been incurred through a spirit of religion has really been done. Their heart was in the wrong place, but the method was just misplaced. Does that make sense? But if you're in this place this morning and you're carrying around some guilt, carrying around some shame, carrying around some baggage that's been placed in your life, some wounds that's been placed in your life from a spirit of religion, if you're in this place and you have felt disconnected from the kingdom and from Christ and from His plan and from His family and from His body and from His church because of a spirit of religion, I'm telling you today, God wants to connect you again. God wants to heal those wounds, wants to remove those burdens. And just like Paul was telling to these Colossian people, don't be condemned. Don't be shamed. Don't be guilted. That's the message God has for you this morning. I know this is a little different vibe, a little different feel this morning, a little different anointing.
Thanks for listening. I'm Pastor Justin, and I believe Jesus has begun a transformational work in your heart through this word you've just heard. I'd love to hear about what God is doing in your life. If you've made a commitment to follow Him today or have a testimony to share about what God's doing, head on over to redlifechurch.com. Follow the tabs of the Get Connected page and send us a message. While you're there, you can also give to Red Life Church and to the work God is doing here in Brookville, Indiana. God's blessings upon you and your family.